reading of Scripture will come from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differently accorded to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberty. Libertality, he who lends, in diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
I know a family back in Richmond who out in the country on a place called Muleshed Lane bought an old house. It had been around for quite a while. In fact, in the early 1900s, a doctor had owned the house. And it had passed down to now they had bought it. And this was back in the mid-1990s. When they bought the house, they were going to do a little bit of renovation. And there was a wall over here that they were going to redo. They took the wall down and found a skeleton inside the wall. Now, what are you going to do if you're getting in that situation? What's your first thought going to be? Uh-oh, we got a murder on our hands, and somebody has hidden the body. Well, that's not exactly true. In fact, the doctor who had owned the house, when he retired, had a full skeleton of a human being for his practice. And he didn't know what to do with it when he retired. Because you don't just put something like that out in the trash. So he decided to leave it inside the wall. That created some problems. To think about a human skeleton, I have learned that there are apparently 206 bones in the human skeleton. Now, some of you know better than that, let me know. That's just the number I have. There might be more. But the bones are extremely important. God made us, and that structure works together so well. We need all of that working as well as it can. Tonight, I want us to compare for a few minutes. The fact that God says the church is a body. And I want for us to have 206 points. So just fasten in, get ready, and it'll be amazing. 206 points, each bone. No, we're not going to. We don't have time for that, and I can't name them all anyway. So let's take just a few minutes and think about some bones that we are all familiar with and how they represent the workforce, the group that makes up the body of the church. But I'm going to do it from a little different standpoint because I want us to talk about it from the standpoint of here are the problems we're going to have to face. How are we going to overcome them? Let me suggest in the first place, there's not a church that I've ever known that did not have as a part of its congregation jawbones. There are a lot of jawbones at times. In fact, I would suggest to you that one of the greatest causes of church difficulty has been jawbones. Now, Timothy knew about some jawbones, because Paul told him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus, Philetus are of this sort. They have strayed from the faith, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and have overthrown the faith of some." Hymenaeus and Philetus were jawbones in that congregation. And they were constantly mouthing about a doctrinal thought that was not proper in the sight of God. And it was creating havoc. Timothy knew about that. The church in Philippi had problems with. When Paul wrote to them in chapter 4 and in verse 2, he said, "I beseech Euodias, and I implore Syntyche, that you be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, it doesn't say they were jawing, but it does say they were jawing. You know why? Because everybody knew they were not of the same mind. How do they know it? Because they were talking about it. Maybe they had one on this side and one on that side. Each of them had their own people that they were talking to. And these jawbones caused trouble in the Lord's church. And if you're going to be involved in the work of the Lord, we cannot have jawbones disrupting the Lord's work. Listen to what God says to jawbones. "If anyone among you seems to be religious, but doth not bridle his tongue, this one's religion is useless." Why? Because he deceives his own heart. Listen, when you hear a jawbone, and that jawbone is not acting as God intended for it to act, recognize that that religion being preached is a useless religion. For he had said earlier in chapter 1 and verse 19 of James, that everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. My mother-in-law has TMJ. That's a very painful thing, obviously, where the jaw just doesn't work right, where it might get locked up or out. And every now and then I get a twinge of that on one side or the other, and it seems like the jawbone just sort of gets out of its proper place. Jawbones that cause trouble in the Lord's church have gotten out of their proper place. They are not involved in the work of the Lord because they are not doing what they should do with the jawbone. Let us be careful of the jawbones. Let's help them to learn to speak properly, so that they can be included in the Lord's work. Number two, every church I know of has tailbones. We had a family a number of years ago, I'm going to say 15 or so. The man and the woman got married right there in our old church building. And in the reception time from the wedding, this family had planned some interesting things to do that involved a little bit of activity. And wouldn't you know it, in the middle of that activity, the brand new groom fell and broke his tailbone. Wow. What a way to start a marriage. Probably don't even think about your tailbone very much until it gets broken. And then, just try to sit down, he said. Then, just try to walk. Then, just try to lie down. Tailbones, represented by those in the large church whose job they feel is simply to do one thing. Sit. The church in Rome apparently had some. Romans 12, verse 11. One simple instruction. Don't lag in diligence. Oh. Here is somebody who was lagging behind, becoming lazy. There were those among the Hebrew Christians who were that way. God wrote to them in Hebrews 6 and in verse 12, do not become sluggish. They had a tendency toward laziness and sitting down and being a tailbone. But probably the most prolific example of tailbones in the early church we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul wrote and he said, when we were among you, we commanded you this, that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. And we hear that there are some who walk among you not working at all, but are busy bodies. Apparently, there was a tendency in a number of places back then, in those early days of the church, for people to sit and to be tailbones in the Lord's church. That is not new. That's an old problem. And we have people who think that they can be simply sitting and be involved in the Lord's church. No, you are included, but you are not involved. I've said many times to our people, sitting in a church building no more makes you involved as a Christian than sitting in a chicken house makes you a chicken. Tailbones don't want to work. They begin to influence others. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 26, the wise man said, as vinegar is to the teeth, as smoke is to the eye, so is the lazy man to the one who sends him. God wrote to the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And he said, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Lazy people are irritating to people. Lazy people are irritating to God. Therefore, Paul said to those people in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, I exhort everyone among you by Jesus Christ that you all do your work in quietness and eat your own bread. No, we don't think much about the tailbone until it is broken. And yes, it could be true in the church that we don't think much about the tailbone people who just sit there until their lives are obviously broken and messed up. But But they are not involved in the Lord's church if they're just sitting around and letting others do the work. We must be people who are willing to say to them, we need you involved, not just included. Number three, I'm not sure we have one of these bones in our body. We might have a bone that looks sort of like it. I'm not sure. Somebody, as it always happens, will correct me, tell me, or inform me sometime. But there's another bone that we have in the Lord's church that we need to be careful about. Those are the wish bones. Maybe I'd call them the wishy-washy bones. You remember taking that old wishbone, chicken bone, when you were a kid? And you held it there with your brother or one of your, and you said, let's pull it and see who wins, right? Well, if you figured out how to hold it just right, you could win every time, right? But here was the theory behind the wishbone. We're just going to pull it. That's how we make our decision. You know, that's how we used to do those kind of things. The coin. Now, you know what you can do? Just saw a commercial for it recently. You can pull out your phone and say, Siri, flip a coin. And Siri will do it. And it was tails. He said, oh, man, I got to watch the sci-fi tonight. Wow. We don't have to pull wishbones anymore. Siri, flip a coin. But the idea of the wishbone is this. It is those who are wishy-washy. Pull them this way, pull them that way. In Ephesus, they had that problem. For Paul wrote to them and said, do not be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of plotting or deceitful plotting. In other words, don't go back and forth deciding this and then deciding this. There are people in the Lord's church just like that. Full. And whichever is stronger, that's the way I'm going to go. Listen to the words of Paul to the Galatians in chapter 1 and starting at verse number 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel of Christ to, notice, a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you, want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Something very fascinating that happens in the original language in that text. Paul says, I marvel you're turning to a different gospel. The Greek word there is heteros, like heterosexual. Heteros. Different. Opposite. And then he says, which, that one you're going to, it's not another. That word is alos, meaning different but of the same kind. You're being pulled to something that is not anything like what you've been. And you can't fool yourself into thinking that it's just the same, just a little different. It's not. It's exactly opposite. Speaking, of course, of going back into the Old Testament way of doing things. There are Christian people who say, pull. And I'll decide which way to go. The church doesn't need those wishy-washy Christians to be that way. We cannot have an involved work of the Lord with people who don't know which side they're going to be standing on all the time. So God writes and He says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, do not be children in understanding,
That's what those wishbone Christians need. They need to grow up. They need to have an understanding that is real and that can face all kinds of obstacles.
But number two, listen to the words of Paul, or the writer that is, of Hebrews chapter 5, starting in the verse number 12. For the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that some teach you again. What are the first principles of the oracles of God? And become as those who need milk and not solid food. For those who have only milk are unskilled in the word of righteousness for their babes. And then he said, in closing out that context, he wants you to understand what you need to do. Have your senses exercised to discern good and evil. Notice what he's saying. In order not to be a wishbone, wishy-washy Christian, you need to have an understanding that has been exercised by the reason of using it, Hebrews 5 and 12, so that it will be firm and solid and real and you can stand on it. At Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond, every year a new crop of students comes. And one of the things that we work into our curriculum to teach them in that four-year period is this: have your own faith. There are too many who come off to college and they don't have their faith. They have mom and dad's faith. Well, mom and dad aren't there. So where's their faith? It's back there. It's not here. And they're not using it here. Have your own faith. They are wishy-washy. They're wishbone. They have not figured out yet. We don't need to pull the bone to figure out where to stand. We're standing with the bone intact, knowing that this is the way to be. Yes. Jawbones, tailbones, and wishbones cause trouble in the Lord's church. But let's be cautious, number four. Sometimes they are simply broken bones. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if any one of you is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Consider your own self, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes there are some people who we might think are jawbones, but no, they're just broken bones. Maybe we want to call them tailbone and just shove them to the side, but no. They're just broken bones. Maybe we look down on those who are wishy-washy wishbones and we think, well, you don't really know the Word of God and you can't take a stand, but in fact, they're just broken bones. We all have burdens. We all have difficulties. We all have trouble. We all have to face it and get through it. But if I'm having a problem with a bone in my body, I don't want the rest of the bones to go, ah, carry away, you sorry thing. I don't want the other bones beating on that bone. I don't want every other part of my body to be talking down to that one. I want them still to keep working together. In fact, you know what I want them to do? I want the rest of my body to rally around the broken part. Because that's how that broken part gets fixed. Sure. There are these bones that cause trouble in the Lord's church, but there are also broken bones that if we aren't careful, we will mislabel. And if they're broken, do we need to rally around them? And in so doing, we can fix the break. And what's fascinating, they tell me, is that once a bone is broken and repaired, it's stronger at that point than before it was broken the first time. Doctors say very rarely does a bone break in the same place again. A broken Christian who finds the healing of the brethren to rally around and to fix and to mold and to reshape and reform might very well be stronger than they were before. The only way that happens is by backbone to the Lord's church. And thankfully, God's had them for 2,000 plus years. The church in Rome had it in Aquila and Priscilla. Romans 12, 3 and 4. In fact, Paul said, they risked their necks for me. The church at Colossae had Epaphras, whom Paul wrote and said, he labors for you daily in prayer, wanting you to be stronger and strengthened in the Lord. And Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 16 and 17, I want you to know about Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus often refreshed me in my chains. When he came to Rome, he zealously looked for me. Oh, there have been backbones upon backbones that have helped the Lord's church in congregational settings to be what it is. I know there are backbones here. I know that you can think of some who have been great backbones in the past and still are to this day in this congregation of God's people. We have them in Richmond, and I'm thankful for them. Yes, the church is the body of Christ. And as a body, it ought to function the way that God says that it can and should. Because when it does, it just works. Well, I had a crisis about 5 years ago. Here was my crisis. I swung a golf club and I found the pain. Now that's a crisis. Because if you can't swing a club without pain, that's a crisis. Because I can't play golf. Oh, I got nervous. When I would turn, my hip hurt. And when I'd hit the ball, my thumb hurt. And for about a year and a half or 2 years, I would play through it. And it hurt. Oh, I tried everything I could. And I was really in trouble. I thought, man, this is problematic. And I found a health supplement that I began to take. And all of a sudden, it started working out well. In fact, it's doing so well that I'm going to beat 3 people on the golf course tomorrow with borrowed clubs because I forgot to bring mine. That's just how well. I'm not going to tell you who I'm playing with, but somebody called a couple of them knuckleheads. Just saying. You already know who the two knuckleheads are. You know who I'm playing with. Is that right, Sam? Sam doesn't. I'm not playing with Sam. You know what? When the body doesn't work right, just call it difficult. But when you find a way to fix it, you just push it aside and say, no, I don't think. Oh, no. I embraced it. And I still take it to this day. And the bones of the Lord's church are having problems. Let's deal with them. If it's a jawbone trouble causing dissension, let's inform them how to act. And don't let them keep doing it.
If it's tailbones that are sitting and being lazy and influencing others, let's get them up. Get them to work. If it's a wishbone situation where they don't know where to stand, let's teach them.
But if they're simply broken bones, and they're reaching, looking for someone to help them, the question is, will you be there? Will the church be there? So that the skeleton of the Lord's body will be as healthy as it can be. Tonight, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, the water's prepared, because that's how you're born into the family. Born again of the water and the Spirit. Well, if you're a child of God, not functioning in the body as you should, if you're ready to be involved, not just included, this song, this invitation time is for you while we sing.